Well, I don't know about you, but this is the news, according to me. Yes, it is the news according to me. I am on the road again. Yesterday was a travel day that was travel, and then some more travel. And then I ended up traveling some more. I was supposed to be in Washington Dulles last night. Ended up going to Roanoke, Virginia. That's where I am now. I'm in Roanoke, Virginia. Because, you know, Dulles just wasn't enough, apparently. And the sweet tea in Roanoke is much better, which is really the whole reason for going anywhere, for that matter. I don't have anything in my cup this morning because I don't have a cup. Well, actually, it's not even this morning. It's this afternoon, I guess. It's 4:24 p.m., and I'm recording this in a hotel room. It's not live because when I go live, I never know what I'm going to have to do. When I'm in a hotel, you never know, you know, housekeeping shows up or whatever happens. And you never know what's going to happen. So I just any kind of background noise, you know, domestic disturbance in the hallway, stuff like that. Never know what's going to happen. So I just nowadays it seems a little ridiculous because I don't know if you notice this, I fly a lot. I travel around, fly a lot. And one thing I have noticed, and I don't know if you, you know, they've said that the disruptions, the unruly passengers, the number of disruptions on flights have gone up dramatically. Like they're like three times what they were last year, or, you know, what they've been in the past. And flying around, I've noticed that there's not very many business travelers. You know, it used to be, through the week especially, you would see business travelers. Or as they would say in some places, business travelers. And what we actually have here is we have a situation where we have travelers who are, I guess, on vacations. They're just, let's just say they're not business travelers. They're what we used to call the weekenders. Some airlines, the lingo that they would use is they would call them the backpackers. Because you don't see many business people traveling around with backpacks. Whereas you do see people on weekends traveling around with backpacks, high school kids, you know, college kids. People on vacations, they don't have the roll bags as much. Or the, you know, the business attire and the briefcases. Which nowadays is just an iPad or a tablet. So yes, I'm drinking not from a cup, but from a thermos today. I have sweet tea in my thermos. I don't think it's going to last all week. I think it's on the 8th. I think today is the last day for this tea. Even if I don't make it through it, I'm going to have to toss it because it's, I forgot to put it in the refrigerator last night. And that has a tendency to make it, I didn't have any ice in it really. I just kind of filled it full of tea because I didn't want to put ice in there. Probably a mistake there. Tea mistake. It's a tea disaster. So a tea faux pas. So I'm in Roanoke, Virginia here, and I'm leaving here this evening. I'll be going to Asheville, North Carolina this evening. That's where I will be tomorrow. Yeah, well, tonight and tomorrow. Most of tomorrow. Part of tomorrow. And then I think I end up in Dayton on Thursday night. Late on Thursday night. Get back home on Friday. So, having said all that, like as if you really care what my travel schedule is, these people who are traveling right now are and I see the videos of these disruptions that take place. And I have to say, these are not business people who are getting into altercations with flight attendants and other passengers. Um, That's all I'm going to say about that. The level of it's turning into more of a bus situation. You know, these are the kind of people who used to ride the bus. if that makes any sense. So, sorry, I got something in my throat here. It's just interesting to see the types of travelers that we have out there, the lack of respect for other people. And of course, you got on top of this, you've got the irritation of having masks involved. Everybody's nerves are kind of on edge anyway because of everything that just happened in the last year. And it's just a volatile situation. People are on edge. They're making comments. They're politically upset. They're, you know, physically upset. Their lives have been disrupted. And it's just not an easy time. Which is why I drink sweet tea. Interesting things have been going on with the election system stuff. Now, I didn't have a show yesterday. I had talked about possibly having some more mention about this, the VPI, the FBI. I was going to have an in-depth discussion about the FBI and Mr. Reagan's recent shows about that. He had a couple different YouTube episodes that involved the FBI. It's pretty interesting. And frankly, it was pretty powerful stuff, what he was putting together. Now, this week we've also had, I'm going to be talking a little bit about I won't be able to talk very long because my computer, actually, I didn't bring my power supply for this computer. I don't know why. It's not with me. So I'm running on battery power, so I've got to depend on that for the next 30 minutes. So, of course, there's also the Fauci. I'm going to call him Fauci from now on. I got into a big to-do with Senator Rand Paul. Rand Paul is a pit bull in this thing. He's not letting up on Fauci for this. And in my opinion, now, of course, the left is all saying that, oh, Fauci took, you know, Rand Paul to task and really showed him. No, he didn't. He did not at all. He's sitting there stating exactly what they're doing with this virus. And Fauci is trying to dance around the definition of how they define gain of function research. They are taking a natural virus, making it more. You can hear. Boy, you can hear. This microphone picks up things I can't hear with my headphones off. I hear people down the hall right now, or maybe it's a mouse I hear down the hall. I don't know. They're taking this virus and making it more transmissible to humans. They're playing with it, doing different things with it, injecting other viruses into it, trying to make it a combo deal. And they're claiming that Fauci is claiming that that is not gain-of-function research. Right to Paul's face, Senator Paul's face. Now, there are people outside my door. And housekeeping. As if on cue, these people, I had the housekeeping lady just stop by and said, oh, they said you checked out. I said, no, I didn't check out. I'm not leaving till 7 o'clock. So, anyway, yeah, again, which is why I'm recording this, I'll leave that little blurb in there. I did push the pause button on this one so I could go to the door, but, so they're saying that this is not gain of function research, and, you know, I'm sorry, but, It is. So Senator Paul sat there and said, this is what you're doing. And you're telling me that's not gain of some function research. He goes, absolutely. That's not gain of function research. Now, anyone who heard what Paul said would say, that's gain of function research. I don't know what you call it, but you're working on, you know, trying to manipulate the virus to do something more than it does. I would say that's gain of function. In other words, increase of function. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I guess Rand Paul now is filing. He's going to the Justice Department to file for criminal hearings. Now, think about who he's going to now. He's got the DOJ. Think about who the head of the DOJ is there and the kind of situation we've got going on. Not going to be, you know, this is not going to work. I don't think he's going to get anywhere with this at all. But just the fact that he's doing it, I think, shows a little more tenacity than any of the other, you know, people in the party. And good for him. I hope it goes somewhere. Because Fauci is just absolutely out of his mind. And he's got a lot riding on this. He could literally lose his fortune over this whole thing. And of course the variants now are the problem. The Delta virus, the Delta variant. Again, it's they're heading for, they want to head back into another, two things they want to do. One is they want to create a second-class citizen. They want to create a division of citizens, ones that are willing to be vaccinated and the ones who don't. And then you've got the, they want to divide them up and give privileges to the people who've been vaccinated. And then on the other side, they want to have a, the other thing that they want to have is to have this potential lockdown again, so they can continue to maintain control. The fear factor and how that plays into the control issue of businesses, money, continued spending. And that money that they're sending out there sloshes around, and it dribbles into all kinds of non-government organizations that then peel money back to campaigns. And that money flows everywhere. It rewards people for doing things in the past, as well as it rewards people, you know, for future investment into things that, like campaign funding. One of the things that, in fact, there was, I think it was Mr. Reagan again, actually talked about how the people that are around Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden was making, you know, he made money, but you don't get rich working in the government, even as the vice president or a senator. The pay is not that great. These people are making, of course, now Nancy Pelosi, for the second time now, has been involved in some insider trading information. Now, she claims, I don't own any stock. Well, no, it was her husband. Her husband did the investing. Last I heard, that's, you know, I'm sure they talk. They probably, I don't know how, they have, like, between drinks, they'll talk. And it's ludicrous to think that, well, I don't have any investments in that company. Well, yeah, but my husband made a whole bunch of money in it. How fortuitous that would happen. So, and now it happened again. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it, but I heard that something else happened. The same thing again. She's under the gun because of something else, investing, some kind of investment. But the thing I want to get into, there's two things. One thing that I want to talk about. Well, I'm talking about the virus and the whole thing here. You know, when this all started happening back in March of last year, things started shutting down. April, and I had this gut feeling, I have no proof of this. I have no evidence of anything I'm about to say. This is all conjecture and a gut feeling, and that's all it is. And you can call me a conspiracy nut if you want to, but I have this strange, uncanny ability, and I don't know that it's I don't know how it has developed as a skill, but I have this uncanny ability to know when people are lying, or to know that there's more to a story when someone is being interviewed or when they're saying something to, you know, in a speech. I have this uncanny ability to catch words and phrases and intonation and inflection. Probably because I have spent so much time recording people, editing, hours and hours of editing and recording. And you wouldn't know it by listening to this show, but I do that a lot. And when I'm, for instance, if I'm doing some work where I'm reading a script for a recording, for a voiceover work, for whatever I'm doing, and I'm reading that script, I sometimes will stumble on my words because I hear that phrase or that sentence, that particular phrase I'm speaking, I'll hear it about 20 different ways in my head as I'm saying it. And I know that there's many different ways to say the same thing. There's many different ways to say the same thing. There's many different ways to say the same thing. You see where I'm going with that? 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 There's just many different ways of saying something, and those all flow through my head at the same time every time I'm saying something like that, when I'm reading something like that, to try to get the correct expression and intonation and inflection out of it. The pacing, the time, you know, how fast you say something, how quickly you say it, can mean, you know, two different things. So all those things, I guess just after hearing that kind of thing and being immersed in that kind of environment for so long, I can tell if someone's speaking, you know, from their heart, the truth that they believe or what they believe in, or whether they're in some kind of believe me mode or persuasive mode or whatever it is that they're in. And the culmination of different people saying different things and all the things that are going on. I say all this, I'm going through all this to make this one point. As all this stuff was going on and people were speaking, and I had this feeling that Trump, they literally pulled the rug out from under him on this whole thing. The one place they could get him was in this medical world, this medical situation, this pandemic thing. Because what was he supposed to do? He wasn't going to show up as an expert. He was an expert in the economy and business and understanding what businesses need. He had people around him who were brilliant in that respect, knew how to get the economy back going again. And it drove him nuts, drove the left nuts. There was nothing, they knew that this was going to be a landslide victory for him if they didn't do something about it, because the economy was good, everything was strong. They didn't want to, no, the country isn't going to take a chance on Joe Biden. And all of a sudden, of course, the one country that Trump was really holding to accountability and putting the pressure on, the one country that had their fingers in the pockets of so many people on the left and the right in Washington, was China. The one laboratory that had financial and political connections with people in Washington was in Wuhan. And the one thing that could shut down the economy, or shut down the country, so to speak, was a pandemic from a virus that was broadcast to be much more dangerous than it really was. I'm not saying it wasn't dangerous. I'm saying they overblew it. that the reports were, or that the hysteria was definitely overblown. Don't get me wrong, it was dangerous and it was a problem. But this shutting down and mask wearing stuff, out of control and hysterical. It was just hysteria. Still is. And now they're saying that Biden comes out and says they're killing people. People who post things on Facebook. That they want to say is misinformation. They're killing people. Well, when you say that someone's killing people, that makes them a murderer. So, Joe, are you going to round up these people and lock them up for murder? No. Now, Joe is the one who came out and said everyone would have survived if Trump would have handled the pandemic properly. All those lives would have been, all those lives. No one would have died. I've got the audio of him saying that. They'd all be alive today. Really? They all would have been alive. Some of these people were within 2 weeks of dying anyway. Some of these people were chronically and critically ill. So all those people who died last year from COVID would still be alive today. You can guarantee that. He's guaranteeing that. I think what he meant to say was they wouldn't have died of COVID. Or with COVID. But there's no way that that's... Think about that statement for a moment. We were going to be the only country in the world that didn't have any deaths from COVID, because it has hit every single country on every continent. So, whether they wore masks or not, there was a little video that came out right about the time of the pandemic, and right about the time they started shifting their ideas about between wearing masks and not wearing masks. And of course, initially, Fauci was telling everyone that we shouldn't wear masks. It's a false sense of security. It might stop a droplet. We shouldn't be walking around wearing masks. Oh, wait, but he said that lie because he was trying to protect the first responders. So that the PPE would get to them. Yeah. So now we're supposed to believe him when he says, another layer. No, it wouldn't. So we have these people saying these things. Now, he was also interviewed at one point. And I've got to bring this up because it just, again, this is this gets back to the whole thing of when I hear someone say something that I don't believe them. He was asked questions from a script, an obviously scripted interview on one of the legacy media companies, MSNBC or CNN or whatever it was. One of the questions that he was asked was, does this affect or change your DNA in any way? The look on his face and his response was enough for me. No, not at all. No, that's silly. He didn't really say it wouldn't. He just kind of shook his head and kind of implied that he was saying no. It was over-portrayal is what I call it. It was the kind of thing you would do to try to convince someone. You were the last person that I saw with my pencil. You know where my pencil is? No, I don't know where your pencil is, no. It's in your pocket. You know exactly where the pencil is, but you're saying you don't know where it is. Yeah, you just don't know what pocket it's in. That's what you're meant to say. So yeah, there are those issues that are going on. Now, personally, this is all conjecture. I'm getting back to my point. I believe that this whole thing was set up to get rid of Trump. It needed to be a global scale. And the individuals, Fauci himself as well, who was connected to Wuhan, had worked for the previous administration. He was known to be a Democrat. He is a globalist left-winger. He is a self-aggrandized individual that, in my opinion, thinks that he's saving the world by doing what he's doing, much like Bill Gates, who has made a slip-up one time saying that we have to vaccinate people because if we have to reduce the population of the country, of the world, rural population. And he's the one out there pushing these vaccines. He owns one of the companies that's involved in it, in the vaccine thing. Now, you tell me, why are they pushing for people under 25 to get the vaccine? When people under 25 virtually have no symptoms whatsoever from this thing. I just think it's literally almost a scary scenario where we find out in a couple of years that people who have taken the vaccine have been sterilized. I'm not saying that's happened or it's going to happen. But that kind of thing takes time. The vaccine is less than 9 months old. It's been out for less than 9 months. Or right around 9 months. So as we find out whether, you know, people as they become pregnant here in the next year, whether or not there's going to be issues. We don't know yet. We don't know if people are going to start developing other issues with what happened with all the trials in the mRNA research, where the tested animals, immunity systems, immunosystems collapsed. We'll find out, I guess, shortly. And of course, there's different vaccines, different vaccinations, different companies doing this. So we'll find out, I guess, which ones are good, which ones are bad. There's some issues with some, issues with others. And the issues with some are not being broadcast at all. The issues with others are being overblown. So it's a fight again. I don't know. I haven't heard a price yet on what the jabs cost the government. What does each jab cost? I'm sure they're pushing them for a reason. Because, as I was saying earlier, behind the scenes, you know, there are people in the family of Joe Biden who are making a lot of money on the side. People in the family of Nancy Pelosi are making a lot of money on the side. This is how they get their fortunes. This is how they ended up owning several multi-million dollar homes on a salary of, what is it, $250,000 a year, something like that. Like, I got to tell you, that's not that much money. I mean, especially when you're living in D.C. or when you're living in high dollar, high tax rate areas. To be able to afford things like that, to be able to, you know, it's just, and yet they say their taxes are completely, you know, squeaky clean. Well, of course they are, because they don't do it. They hide all this stuff through other people. That's the bagman. It was even on Hunter's laptop messages talking about the bagman. So, say all that to say this. I think someone in this government, along with the deep state, intelligence organizations, the FBI, whatever it was, all in conjunction with each other, worked to perpetrate this pandemic, all with the purpose of getting back power and taking it from Donald Trump. For whatever reason, whether it was because they didn't like him or they just didn't like the fact that they weren't in power. And they knew that they could make an enemy out of him or make a monster out of the orange man was bad. Big orange monster bad. By doing so, they could get their power back. I believe that's exactly what happened. That's just my opinion. But seeing what I've seen from the higher-ups in the FBI, CIA, intelligence organizations, they are definitely politicized organizations now. I don't know how anyone becomes president and can trust them at all. Schumer even made mention of it. They have six ways from Sunday to get you if you go after the intelligence organizations. So he must know. They apparently have his foot in a vice. Because he knows. And they can control him. So he has to do his bidding and stay in line and do what he does. Or else they can bring out the goods. Much like Hunter's laptop when they sat on it for a year. Why were they sitting on that for a year? Why wouldn't you bring that out? Why wouldn't you just investigate the crime and deal with it? Root these people out. Nope. They sit on it because it gives them leverage. We need funding for something. Oh, yeah, whatever you guys want. There you go. There's another $10 billion for your project there. We'll do some black bag funding for you. How's that? We'll give you $1 trillion. How's that? How's that work? Anthony Fauci. Fauci. Highest paid government bureaucrat in the country. Interesting, huh? So, we have that. And then we have the issue with the elections. North Carolina now, I guess the election board just denied the permission to do an audit. Hopefully they will be able to sue them, file a lawsuit, and go after them for that. Because you can't deny someone an audit of the election. Arizona has yet to come out with some information. I believe we're probably going to hear something next week, or at least by next week, on the audit information. There's a lot of questions, a lot of open-ended things that they haven't gotten from the state government that they are basically suing to get now, the information from them. And they will. They'll get the information. And if they don't get it, it will say as much as if they do get it. Also, the Georgia issue. Still more unraveling from that, and Pennsylvania. I mean, the audits themselves are being very, very much, I would say, more clearly defining the issues that were initially said. People came out and said, well, there was more ballots returned, more mail-in ballots returned than when we sent out. Oh, no, that didn't happen. There were only about 700 ballots more than, there weren't, 17,000. Yeah, there were. There were actually 24,000 more ballots returned than were sent out. Of course, they have excuses for all these. Well, no, that's because this didn't get recorded, and those were basically, all these other ballots were put in with the mail-in ballots. They weren't actually mail-in ballots. They were put in with those. The voter in person early voting. Oh, that was all. All the early voting was put in with mail-in ballots. Okay, then we got a problem with mail-in, then with the early voting stuff. So stay tuned, because over the next week, I'm not sure if there'll be a show tomorrow. Might be a show tomorrow morning. It probably won't be live because I still have no power for my computer is about half done. I got enough juice for one more show. So. Thanks for listening. Thanks for stepping by and stopping by and all the stuff you do when you go by. We'll continue to fight the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Continue to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, and pray for me. Be busy. Be a busy guy. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great night. And take care. Try to keep your ear to the ground. And stay grounded. God bless you.